you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back in the year 1719, the English hymn writer by the name of Isaac Watts wrote a book entitled The Psalms of David, Interpreted for the New Testament and Applied to the Christian State and Worship. How many of you are familiar with that work? I didn't think so. I actually went to the Flint Public Library's website and the Genesee Library District's website, and that book is not on the frequently checked out list. As a matter of fact, the book is not in their stacks. But believe it or not, you are familiar with that book by the name of The Psalms of David, Interpreted for the New Testament and Applied to the Christian State and Worship. You see, Isaac Watts lived at a time in the Church of England's history when it was only acceptable to sing the Psalms from the Old Testament. Imagine coming to church on Sunday morning and having for your hymnal Psalms 1 through 150 and sing it. So what Isaac Watts did, he took some of the Psalms and he rewrote them somewhat, changed the vocabulary, but not the meaning, so that they'd be easier to sing in worship. You know, since 1719, almost that entire book, the Psalms in that book, have fallen out of disuse in Christian singing in the English world. Except for one. You see, there's a little bit of this book that all of us are very familiar with. One half of one psalm. Half of the verses of one of the psalms that he rewrote, we still sing on a regular basis. And most of us love it too. It's a rewriting of Psalm number 98. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. But you know what's really interesting about this history behind the hymn, Joy to the World, is that Isaac Watts never intended this to be a Christmas song, believe it or not. If you were to take out your hymnal and look at the psalm sometime, you'll see that there's no mention of a manger. There's no mention of a baby. There's no mention of shepherds or wise men or anything in the Christmas story. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her baby. No, her king. Joy to the world was originally written as an Advent hymn, not a Christmas carol. And actually, it was never sung as a Christmas song until about 120 years after the publication of that book. You know, my point I'm going to make here is that what's happened with Joy to the World, how it's bypassed being an Advent song and become a Christmas carol, in a small scale illustrates how we Christians struggle with this season of Advent. This waiting. The season of Advent leading up to Christmas is an important season of the church year. It's an important reflection of how we wait for Jesus to return at the end of time as our King. It's an important time of reflection for us, too, to reflect on how God's people waited in silence for 500 years before Jesus was born. During those 500 years, the voices of the prophets were silent, to a people continued to wait for God to fulfill his promise. And so today, as we observe Advent, each week lighting one candle of the Advent wreath, we're waiting. Waiting for the celebration of Christmas, but also it's reminding us of how we're waiting for our King Jesus to return at the end of time. This morning we heard a few verses from St. Peter's second epistle. And what's happening in this letter that Peter wrote is the ancient church, the first century, was struggling with waiting. It had been about 30, 40 years since Jesus had ascended to heaven. And remember, when Jesus ascended, he said he's coming back. For many in the first century, they thought that Jesus would come during their lifetimes. Jesus never promised that he would return that quickly, but they thought he would. And as the decades passed, the people became impatient. Peter responds to that impatience by referring to some of these folks as scoffers. You know what a scoffer is, or when someone scoffs? A scoffer is someone who mocks or ridicules or scorns the belief of another. It's not fun listening to scoffers, is it? And I'm sure it wasn't fun for Peter to listen to people scoffing about Jesus not returning. Back in the 60s AD, the scoffers had a couple of arguments. First of all, they said, well, if Jesus is taking this long to return, maybe he's not going to come back at all. The next step in the argument was, well, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, and he's not coming back at all, we can just do what we want. We can live our lives our ways and not Jesus' way. The argument would go too, that, hey, 40 years is a long time, Peter. If Jesus isn't back yet, does that mean that God is unconcerned about what's going on here? God really doesn't care about us. He doesn't care. He's not involved in human history. To these arguments, Peter was responding. He's responding to these scoffers. You know, as I think about the word scoffer, during the past year, it seems that I've run into two people who I consider to be scoffers. And it wasn't fun listening to them ridicule the things that I believe in. One of the persons who was a scoffer explained to me how he was just not happy with how God was working in his life. He believed in God, but he was far away from God. It wasn't fun listening to the scoffers, but because their beliefs were genuine and heartfelt, I heard them out. I also prayed with them and continued to pray for them. This first scoffer, though, he explained to me how from the time he was about 10 years old, life has been rough. He's about 10 years old when he had his first major injury. As the years went on, there was one tragedy in his life after another. And by the time he had his time with me, he said, I don't care about anything you say. I've heard enough of people saying to me, oh, God's got a plan, God's got a purpose. Where is God, he said. He went on to say, God has messed with me so much. God has ignored me so much. God can do whatever he wants with me. I really don't care anymore. You could take what you say and just stop what you said. Kind of sounds like the arguments that Peter was dealing with. When the people were criticizing, saying, there is Jesus. 40 years is a long time. Maybe he really doesn't care about us anymore. Peter responded to those arguments by saying, don't lose your trust in God. Just before the verses that we're looking here at here this morning, Peter reminded his readers of who Jesus is. That he's the Lord, that he's God. He reminded his readers that keep in mind that God created everything. Keep in mind that when Jesus said when he returns, everything's going to be made new. And if God destroyed, Peter reminded the people that if God destroyed the world once already back in the days of the flood, he can certainly do it again. God is very much involved in human history. And the reason God is taking so long in coming back, and so it is too when it seems like God is silent in our lives, he is working his purpose for a good reason. And Peter puts it in his letter by saying, God is slow for a reason because he does not want anyone to perish. And so in all of our lives too, as we're focused on the here and now, look at what God is doing and remember that God's ultimate purpose in our life is not the here and now, but eternity for each and every one of us. The second person I spoke with this past year that I would title a scoffer was one who, yes, believed in God, but it had been a long time since his shadow has been cast inside of the church. His criticism was not so much with God, but with God's people. He said, where are God's people? Why are they God's people on Sunday mornings, but not Sunday afternoon and Monday through Saturday? No, he didn't consider himself a saint by any way, by any means. But he went on to explain, he said, hey, I'm not trying to pretend somebody I'm not. You know, Peter dealt with this, I believe, too, in 2 Peter. As he responded to the scoffers, he encouraged them to continue to live as God's people, continue to live the way Jesus calls us to live. That is our calling. It continues to be our calling today, 2,000 years after Peter wrote those words. So you see how Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of waiting, and it's encouraging us to continue to wait patiently. And as I mentioned to the kids during the children's sermon, and as we all experienced in life too, the best thing to do when we're waiting is be productive. The watch pot never boils, does it? And so it is as we wait for Jesus. Be in God's word as you wait. Pray to the Lord as you're waiting for him. Love others and love God as you're waiting for him. You know, this season of Advent, as we're waiting, forces us to look beyond the manger and historical event that took place 2,000 years ago, and look ahead to the future, to the hereafter. Because really, as we wait in Advent, we know we're waiting for two things. We're patiently preparing and waiting for either Jesus to come at the end of time, or for us to go and to be with Jesus. But it's no fun during Advent, is it, to be thinking about the hereafter when we're trying to be focused on the celebrations of Christmas. But we must always be looking to the hereafter. A pastor was visiting with an elderly gentleman one day, and as they were talking, the man really didn't want to talk about spiritual things. So the pastor said to him, sir, with all due respect, at your age, you really should be spending some time thinking about the hereafter. The man responded to the pastor and said, "Young man, believe me, I spend a lot of time thinking about the hereafter. As a matter of fact, several times a day, I find myself asking, now what am I here after?" We need to think about the hereafter, seriously. C.S. Lewis put it this way about how important it is. He said, "In a sense, Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, that they have become so ineffective in this one." Hear what he said? When we're not thinking about the other world, we Christians are not very effective in the world we're in right now. So Peter's encouraging us in his epistle this morning. He's encouraging us as we wait, to wait patiently, but not idly. To wait productively, living the lives God calls us to live. That when the Lord returns, he doesn't find us sleeping or unprepared, but actively involved in his work. Going back to "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Is it always easy to sing that song at Christmas? Is Christmas always a joyful time? Or are there Christmases when they're a little bit bluer than the previous Christmases have been? Because life has changed. Because this Christmas isn't like the last Christmas. I think Isaac Watts understood that as he wrote that hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." It's a sign that it's not a Christmas hymn. Isaac Watts knew that Christmas isn't always going to be joyful. But when King Jesus returns at the end of time, it will be "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," and heaven and nature will sing. Because the scripture tells us that when King Jesus returns, even the rocks will cry out in joy. That is the joy in the hereafter that we all are looking forward to. The joy that will not end. In Jesus' name, amen.